33. We're going to continue talking about the supernatural system of God. As I said, what we're doing is we're laying a foundation. How many enjoy Sunday? Amen. We're laying a foundation here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This here is the truth. It doesn't matter what you have ever been through, what you're going through. Amen. Just to let you know that everybody is either going through something, coming out of something, or about to go into something. Amen. Every person. Amen. So when you come out of your situation and you're about to go into something else, you got a little break right in between there to rejoice and give your testimony. Amen. Before you go back into something. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, all the days of your life, you're going to have battles with sin, flesh, and the devil. See, that's why you are either going through something or coming out of that something, you know, or about to go into something else. Amen. Because as soon as you graduate from one thing, it seems as though there's a light shining on you to reveal something else. Ultimately, it's because God wants us to grow. Amen. What I've learned from him is he don't allow me to skip steps. Amen. He don't allow because he cares about me. He wants me to grow. Amen. Take some of the low out, Jason, on me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. When you get there, somebody say, praise God. Y'all ready for the word? We'll do some teaching tonight. It says, but seek ye first. When should you seek? First. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, you know that what he was talking about when he said all these things, he was talking about the things that you and I have need of. Our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we have need of, and the Bible says he knows it before we ask it. Amen. So the Bible says to don't put your focus on the things that you have need of, because if you put your focus on the things that you have need of, what would happen is that all of your attention will be on supplying for yourself or taking care of yourself. Amen. And that's where most people who are not in covenant with God, their whole focus is on what they can drink, what they can eat, and what they're going to put on. Amen. But the Bible here tells us that we have another system by which we can live, and it's called the kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God. Look what it says here in the Amplified Bible. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and his way of being right. And then all these things taken together will be giving you besides. So here we see that the kingdom of God is God's way of doing and being right. Somebody say God's way of doing and being right. Now watch this. Jesus wants us to aim at or strive after his way of doing. So you do need to know the Bible says in Proverbs that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Concerning every area of our lives, we have to make the ultimate choice of whether we're going to do it God's way or we're going to do it our way. Somebody say God's way or our way. In marriage, you have God's way or you have our way. Or we have the world system way or how society is. Amen. Concerning raising kids, we have God's way or we have the way of the system of the world. Amen. Now, here's what's going to happen, just to let everybody know. As the days draw closer, how many are starting to feel like the things that we're trusting in that is outside of the kingdom of God are starting to lose any type of power and validity? Amen. I remember back in the day, a lot of people might not remember this, but I do. Growing up in Detroit, Michigan, I remember that if you got general assistance from, they called it, ADC. That's exactly what they called it, yeah. Because we had an office in Detroit on West Grand Boulevard and one of the side streets. That's neither here nor there. But when you had ADC, what we call human services now, back then, that if a man lived in your house, what would happen is that they would actually come into your house and check through your closet, check your clothes, check everything. And if there was any type of clothing or anything that, you know, showed that a male or a man was there, they would cut you off of assistance. Amen. Now times have changed and we don't have that. But, you know, because of human services, a lot of homes are broken up. There's a lot of fathers that are not in the homes. Amen. And there's women raising kids by themselves. And they've caused us to be dependent upon the system. And now we can see that that system is falling through the cracks. I said Sunday that Social Security, people for years have been paying into Social Security. And now we're in a deficit concerning it. People don't know where the money is going to come from. Amen. They don't know where it's going to come from. Now, why am I focusing on this? Because I'm showing you that those things that were in the natural that we put our dependence on and our reliance on and our trust in, we cannot depend on them any longer. The Bible said, cursed is he that puts his trust in the arm of the flesh. Amen. Take it and say, neighbor, I love you, but I cannot put my trust in you. Amen. That's what the Bible said, trust in God with all of your heart. Amen. So there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Amen. Thirdly, Jesus wants us to aim at and strive for after his kind of righteousness. Now, it's very important that I bring this out, because in order for you to grow, and we're going to act like today is the first day of your Christianity, in order for you to grow as a believer, the number one demonic spirit that you're going to have to deal with is condemnation. The enemy will always shoot at you and target you with condemnation. But condemnation does not have any power when you understand God's kind of righteousness. Now watch this right here. Take your hands like this and go like this. Both hands go like this. Everybody in the room, go like this. Okay, on your left hand is going to be called righteousness, which is of the law. Somebody say righteousness, which is of the law. Now watch this right here. This righteousness is dependent upon your works, your performance, what you do. Amen. But then when Jesus came, we have the God kind of righteousness, which is righteousness, which is of faith. Somebody say righteousness, which is of faith. Now watch this right here. Righteousness, which is of faith, has absolutely nothing to do with you and your performance. Now watch this right here. This is why the word says seek first the kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. And his righteousness. Watch this. And then all these other things will be added unto you. So now he's telling you that God has a system that is totally contrary to the system of the world. And God wants you to seek that system. But then God has a righteousness that is totally contrary to our performance, our behavior, all of that. We're talking about righteousness which is in and of faith in Christ Jesus. When you master these two things, now you have crossed over into the supernatural realm. You've crossed over into God's system. Amen. Now, what does that mean? Righteousness, which is of faith, doesn't give you the power to say, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Amen. No, what it does is that it takes any strength from Satan from causing you not to progress. Because when you mess up, trust me, God knew you were going to mess up before you messed up. Because God knows everything that is in us. Amen. He knows the end from the beginning. So he knows that you're going to blow it before you blow it. So because of that, he gave you righteousness, not based upon your performance, not based upon your behavior, not based upon your attitude. He gave you righteousness based upon Jesus, his blood and his death. Now somebody say double jeopardy. Now, everybody, whoever seen the movie Double Jeopardy before? I'm guilty. I've seen it. Amen. With Ashley Judd and somebody else. Amen. But you seen the movie Double Jeopardy? The whole point of the whole movie is that when a person has been convicted or a person has been condemned or judged for a crime, they can no longer be judged or condemned a second time. Now, here's what I mean right here. The law of double jeopardy shows that when Jesus hung on the cross, when he died, I'm showing you something. When he died, in the mind of God, all of humanity died with him. That's why the Bible tells us the work of the kingdom of God is to believe. So when you accept Jesus Christ into your life and you start to believe upon him, believe upon his word, it takes you into the category of you are not living any longer in your own power or your own strength. Now the Bible says, if any man, somebody say any man, if any man be in Christ. Now this is what you want to say. Say, I am in Christ. See, you're no longer the person that you used to be. That's why we as pastors, we got to teach you who you are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Somebody say new creature. That means one that has never ever existed before. In the mind of God, your whole slate has been wiped clean. Everything has been wiped clean. Okay? You are a new creature. So now, because of that, you obtain the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So we're going to look at this right here just for a minute. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, righteousness is who you are, not what you do. Say that again. Say, righteousness is who you are and not what you do. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. I want to show it to you. These are the little bitty simple things that we have to get up under our belt in order to operate in the supernatural. Amen. We have to. Can you imagine building a house without pouring a footing or a foundation? Amen. It won't work very long, will it? It has no foundation. So no matter how well it looks on the outside, because it doesn't have the proper foundation, when the storm comes, it's not going to last. It's not going to weather the storm. So these are foundational principles that once you get this in your spirit and you start standing on this, all the other things, that's the benefits of the kingdom of God, that stuff comes easy. That's why he said when you seek the kingdom and his righteousness, everything else is added. You understand that? Everything else is added. It's just easy. Amen? Now watch this right here. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. It said, he hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now watch this right here. It did not say that Jesus was made sin so that we could do righteousness. It said Jesus was made sin so that we could be made righteousness. So once again, say this. Say, righteousness is not what I do. It's who I am. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what the Amplified says. It says, for our sake, he made Jesus Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become. Somebody say, become. See, it's a whole other thing to become rather than doing. What we do when we live in the system of the law or we live in the system of the world, we're always focused on performance. But God is focused on becoming. He's more concerned about your who than he is your do. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? See, this is powerful right here. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Look what it says here. And you could just write it down, but I'm trying to bring a point out right here. The Bible says in the Amplified Bible that Abraham was first called a father, and then Abraham became a father. I think it's either Amplified or the Message Bible, whichever one you can find, Jason, if you're going to put it up there. But the Bible said he was first called a father, and then he became a father. So this is what happened here. God called you righteous. Now you're going through the process of what he made you. You are coming into being what he made you. But in his mind, you are already righteous. Are you catching that right there? So this is the key for us to operate in the supernatural. Now, let's move on because I don't want to hold us up there. Tell your neighbor, say, I am the righteousness of God. Now, watch this. Because we are in a new system and we are righteous, we must live by faith. We must live by faith. We're talking about a supernatural system. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Now, I'm going to, you know, the Bible says, out of the mouth of 2 to 3 witnesses, let every word be established. I'm going to give you 4 or 5 of them because it's important that we understand this right here. Because what I want is people to walk out of this place here today in Jesus' name, regardless of what it is that you're going through, you should be able to, through the word of God, through your relationship with Jesus, you should be able to elevate your mind and your hope beyond what you're going through. That's what living supernaturally is all about. Amen. It's like when somebody cuss you out and Jesus tell you to love them who despitefully use you and curse you and speak all manner of evil against you. Amen. See, once you implement that supernatural truth of loving people, you done moved up to a whole nother level. You're not down on the level where the chickens are. You're up on the level where the eagles are. You understand what I mean? So now watch this right here. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, I want you to read it with me on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, But the just shall live by his. Now, I want you to circle the word just, because just is talking about you. The word just means to be declared righteous. Just or justified means to be declared righteous or righteous. Amen. So say this, say, I have been declared righteous. See, all I'm doing is fortifying your faith, because remember, our foundation scripture is seek first the kingdom and his what? And all these things will be added unto you. You see that right there? Now, let's look at Romans chapter 1 verse 17. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible because it's powerful what it says. It says, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just or declared righteous and upright shall live and shall live by faith. Somebody say, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3 and 11. Turn there. Galatians 3 and 11. We're going somewhere with this right here. We're just laying a foundation. Galatians 3 and 11. Can you imagine having a Mercedes Benz, all white leather? You know, you got wood grain going down the middle. Ain't that right, Shep? You know what I mean? All that potential, but no gas in the car. How far are you going to go? See, you got all that potential on the inside of you. Faith is the fuel that causes you to realize your full potential in the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible said the just shall live by faith, okay? Now watch this right here. Galatians 3 and 11, on the count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by, what do you live by? You live by faith, amen? Now notice it said, but that no man is justified. No man is declared righteous by the deeds or the works of the law. Now, this is very important. You got to understand here. Your performance has nothing to do with your righteousness. Say that with me. Say, my performance has absolutely nothing to do with my righteousness. Because most of us, when we get born again, we come to the altar. Amen. We feel this good feeling. I want to change my life. We done got on Facebook, told a few people, I'm about to change my life. You know what I mean? By 2 weeks later, you know what I'm saying? That smoking weed devil jump up. He in your mind, you having, you know, dreams of it, smoking weed. Amen. He telling you, say, you know what? Weed is legal now, so you could smoke it. Amen. I had a gospel rapper told me, he said, I got a weed card. Amen. Let me just move on from that right there. We'll just move on from that right there. Amen. But you know, when you was at the altar, you wanted to change your life. You wanted to get yourself together. Amen. But your mind hasn't been renewed yet. Because your mind hasn't been renewed to righteousness, which is of faith, or who you are. Amen. You're subject to the lower nature. Amen. But guess what? Your performance has absolutely nothing to do, amen, with your righteousness. Why do I keep driving this right here? Because I don't know how many hundreds of people in my life I've met over the last 21 years being involved in different ministries that have come to church and left church and ran away from God, not because of God's love for them, but because of their perception of how they think about God and God's people thinking about them because of their performance. So I have to keep driving it in you, because guess what? No matter how many Bible scriptures you get in you, no matter how much prayer time you have, man, there's been some days I get in the presence of God and the power of God comes on me so strong, man, I feel like Clark Kent. I just came up out the phone booth. You know, I'm looking for a devil. I'm looking for somebody to lay hands on. You know what I mean? But then guess what? Because my mind needs to be renewed and I'm in this physical body where I'm going to have battles with sin. Somebody say sin, flesh, and the devil. Come on, all the days of my life, because I'm in this physical body, guess what? That experience don't stay with me all the time. So that's why my mind needs to be renewed, so I can have like some parameters or some, guidelines or some limitations or boundaries, I can keep myself by keeping my mind right. Amen. Because guess what? Sometimes you want to lose it, don't you? Raise your hand. I know I ain't the only one that don't want to lose it. That want to lose it sometimes. But watch this right here. The reason why the enemy attacks you with condemnation is because he knows that, guess what? Your righteousness has nothing to do with your performance. So God wants you to get that established in your spirit, because watch this right here. We want to take this faith thing to a whole nother level. Somebody say whole nother level. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews, we said Hebrews 10 and 38, right? Did we say that one already? I didn't. We said Galatians 3 and 11, right? Okay, now Hebrews 10 and 38. This is the last one to show you concerning faith. When you get there, somebody say praise God. Nobody there, because did nobody say praise God? Let's read it. 1, 2, 3. Now the just shall live by. What you going to live by? 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 Watch this. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What does it mean to draw back? It means to start living according to your own works, your own performance, as if to think that what you do will please God. Come on, somebody say amen. As a matter of fact, the book of Galatians, I believe it is chapter 3, the Apostle Paul approached the Galatian church and he said to him, he said, "You foolish Galatians, who hath seduced you or who hath bewitched you?" He said, "You started off in faith and now you ended up in works." What he was trying to tell them is that something happened in their mind where they shifted from completely. Somebody say completely. Trusting in Jesus. Say that. Trusting in Jesus. See, because that's what I'm going to point out today. We're going to show another side of faith. Because what happens here is that we get to the place where, you know, well, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And everybody know that. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the problem is that the Spirit of God spoke to me 2 days ago, and he said to me, many believers know the word of God, but they don't know the God of the word. Amen. You catch that right there. Many believers know the word of God, but they don't know the God of the word. It's not enough just to know a few Bible scriptures, because the scripture should lead you to the author of the book. Now, listen, you cannot separate God from his word, but his word should lead you to him. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Let me give you an example. The Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, there's a couple ways that I deal with people. And he showed me my own personal life, how he dealt with me. Sometimes God will give you an experience, watch this, without knowledge or without understanding. In my case, when I got born again in 1991, I was 350 miles up north. For whatever reason, God had to get me out of Belleville, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan area. And I end up way up in Sheboygan, Michigan, 12 and a half, 13 miles away from the Mackinac Island Bridge. I was the only black person. I know y'all look at me and say, "Well, Pastor, you ain't black." Well, I was the only black person that was there. Amen. You know what I mean? When I got up there and I went into that little small two-and-a-half garage church, and I had that experience with God. I didn't know anything about praying in tongues. I didn't know anything about the Bible scripture. Wasn't raised in church. Didn't know anything about confessing the word. None of that. I didn't know any of that. But my heart, I wanted God, because the man of God was preaching. I was sitting there. I was crying. I was weeping. I'm like, "What is going on with me?" Fast as it was coming, I was wiping. It kept coming down. He said, "Anybody want the Holy Spirit?" I'm like, "I don't even know what the Holy Spirit is, but if it make me feel the way I feel right now, I'm up and at him." And I ran up to the altar. He laid hands on me, and he said, "Jesus." The power of God hit me so strong, I fell to the ground. Now listen, didn't nobody have to coach me. I just started praying in another language. It was so weird, because I was thinking in my mind, "What am I doing? I'm praying in this other tongue." Nobody ever said, "Hey, put the hand on my neck and say, speak it out, speak it out." Didn't have to do that. The power of God hit me that strong. And then he said, "Pick him up." So I stood back up, and he, "Jesus," boom, I hit the ground again. "Pick him up." And then the third time when I stood up, I scared the whole church. Couldn't have been no more than 25, 30 people in there. Everybody white, including my wife. And when I stood up the third time, there was rolling fire in the corner of the church on the left side. And I looked up at it, and everybody could tell I was looking at it, and I realized this was God giving me some kind of manifestation. And I start screaming, God is real. Now you got to understand, I just came off the street. So I had no intellectual words. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, God is real. God is real. The lady playing the guitar dropped the guitar. She was like looking at me like this. You know what I mean? My wife, literally, she gave Nikki, she's grown now, but she gave Nikki, you know, to the person sitting beside her and ran out the church doors. Now you got to understand this stuff, because we ain't ever praying no tongues. She ain't never seen me act like that or respond like that. So I went from a drastic way of living, smoking and drinking and cussing and sleeping around and fighting and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden this happened. Now I'm reading the Bible 4-5 hours a day. All of a sudden there was this consuming, overwhelming obsession for God's word on the inside of me. You know what I mean? Didn't nobody have to send me to no 12-step program. It was gone. Everything was gone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I believe that all of that happened out of desire, because I had an appetite and a desire for God. Now, watch this right here. This is powerful right here. See, I had an experience, but I didn't have knowledge. So that experience that I had with God put a desire and an appetite in me to go to the knowledge to find out what the experience was about. So sometimes God will give you an experience. Somebody say experience. See, the experience, you take the word experience, you'll find out the word experience means to know. It means to comprehend. It means to be in relationship with, if you can understand. So sometimes he'll give you a knowing or an experience without the knowledge. But then sometimes God will give you knowledge before the experience. But here's the problem. We get so accustomed to knowledge and intellect and analytical thinking that we get satisfied with knowledge, when really the knowledge should take you to an experience. Are you catching this right here? You catching this right here? Y'all look tired and cold. Amen. You gonna catch it? Here's what I mean. That when you read God's word and you meditate God's word, it should not just be, oh, I read the Bible today. When you eat that word of God should take you to a place of experience in God. It shouldn't just be, my God supplies all my needs, and then you never get your needs supplied. It shouldn't be, my God heals me, and you never get healed. Or you confessing the word about your marriage, and your marriage is still jacked up 30 years later. The knowledge of the thing should lead you to an experience. Are you understanding that right there? Come on, somebody say amen to Jesus. So I want to show a side of faith, and I want you guys to write this down, because this is what God gave me. My definition of faith. We're going to use it as acronyms, because God always give me stuff in acronyms. The word F means friendship. Somebody say friendship. The letter A, not the word, but the letter A means accountability. I'm going to help you with something. Just write this down. I'm telling you, I promise you. A means accountability. Amen. Tell your neighbor, your neighbor, never again come to this church without a paper and a pen. You're going to need it. F means what? A means what? I means intimacy. Somebody say intimacy. Amen. T means transparency, or to be transparent. And then H means humility. So we'll go back over them. There's a reason why I'm giving you guys these right here. F means what? A means what? I means what? T means what? H means what? Do you notice that every last one of those words, you can connect all of them with absolute dependency? Now, hear what I'm saying. Turn to Romans 10 and 17 for a minute. Turn to Romans 10 and 17. Romans 10 and 17. See, the whole purpose of me talking to you about the experience and the knowledge is because the statement I said earlier was, many believers know the word of God. Hear what I'm saying here. I don't want you to forget this. Many believers know the word of God, but they don't know the God of the word. That means they have the knowledge, but they don't have the experience yet. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the experience is what we need. We need God. We need to know God. See, faith is more than just a tool that we use to get us our selfish needs met. Faith is more than just that. Faith is the very life source of the believer. Now watch this. Tell your neighbor, say, faith is confidence, reliance, dependence. Watch this right here. Assurance. And then there's one right here. To be completely persuaded. Now watch this right here. I cannot have confidence. We still at Romans 10 and 17. I cannot have confidence in you if I just met you. Doesn't matter what you'll tell me that you will do. And if you have any kind of common sense, you would not put confidence and trust in me if you just meet me. You follow me? In order for me to have confidence in you, I have to progressively over time have some kind of relationship with you where confidence is being, or trust is being proven. Are you understand what I'm saying? I could see that I could depend on you, and you could see that you can depend on me. Well, what does this have to do with faith? Well, if faith is confidence, watch this right here. How can you be confident in a God that you don't know? Hear what I'm saying? See, what we've done is we made it to where we could take and find little antidotes for the problems that we go through, which is good. We need that. But there's a place farther than just using God's word as a tool to get our needs met. I'm trying to show you something here. Faith in and of itself, watch this right here, is not just being confident in God's word. It's being confident in a God that you know. Hear what I'm saying here? See, because it doesn't matter what circumstance or situation that you are in, come hell or high water, when you know God, when you experience God, no matter how bad the problem is, guess what? There's confidence there because you've experienced him. Maybe you went through something else that may have been or may be similar to what you're going through right now. It might not be to the degree of what it is, but it's similar. And God, through experience, showed you that he takes care of you then. So guess what? Your confidence continues to grow. Your trust continues to grow. Your dependency continues to grow. Now watch this right here. Every day, I say out of my mouth, this right here. Father, once again, I declare and I profess my absolute dependency upon you and no man, including myself. I learned this from Bishop Oyedepo. So I took that for myself. Because guess what? We have the tendency of trusting God in the areas that are too hard for us. But God wants us to trust him in every area. Are you catching what I'm saying here? See, that's what faith is. Faith is being confident, being dependent. This is why people have a hard time giving God their money. This is powerful right here. This is why they have a hard time giving God their money. Because most of us think that we're working for our money. You see what I mean? Because we've been so used to that whole system of the world. But all God has to do is allow the breath to come out of our body, and every talent, every skill, every job, all of that stuff don't mean anything. Now what you gonna depend on? What about the people? I remember when Ford Motor Company started, this just real simple, you know, Ford Motor Company, General Motors start laying people off and giving them severance checks and stuff like that. Watch what happened. Uncle Sam took half of the severance check. These people had house payments, boats, because they was balling, because they was making overtime and all this other stuff like that, driving SUVs. Now all of a sudden, you know, they're ready to jump off the top of a building because they can't figure out where they're going to get the money to pay for that SUV, that boat, that house. Houses going into foreclosure. They don't know what they're going to do because they put their trust in a job. I'm trying to show you something here. But see, God wants us to get to the place where, guess what? We're going to put our complete, absolute dependence upon him in every area of our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I wrote something on Facebook this morning. I ain't been on Facebook in a couple of months, you know, but last night was real, real tormenting for me because one of my dear sisters here to go to the church, she's all of our sister. You know what I'm saying? I was feeling her pain. I was feeling what she was going through, and it was like tormenting me in my spirit last night. And I would cry, and I would sit up, and I would cry, and I look at my wife. She said, "What's the matter with you?" And it was plaguing me. Somebody say it was plaguing me. You know what I mean? So I put some things on Facebook and everything. You know what I mean? What was in my heart? You know what I mean? And you know, just to pray for, you know, our sister and other family members and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But this morning when I got up this morning, I felt a little bit better. And I said, you know what? I'm going to exercise my absolute dependency on God. And I got up and I just wrote on there, "Holy Spirit, I completely depend upon you. I'm like a little child. I'm desperate for you. Without you, I can do nothing." Come on, somebody say amen. See, that's faith. That's faith. Faith is where you get up in the morning, you say, you know what? I dare not take a breath without acknowledging the source of my breath. Come on, somebody say amen. Because guess what? We get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of life. We're just doing a little teaching tonight. The hustle and bustle, get busy with everything, busy with our families. The Christmas season, you know what I mean? Commercialism is hitting you through the TV screen, hitting you, drive down the street, everything hitting you, getting you to go in debt and run your credit card stuff up and everything else, you know, to follow the Joneses and run with the Joneses and stuff. And I told my wife and them, you know what we're going to do for Christmas this year? The same thing we did for Thanksgiving this year. We're going to find some people, we're going to adopt some families, bring them to the church, feed them food at the church, and bless their kids. Bless their families. Amen. Come on, get the Lord a hand clap for that. Ain't it amazing how people go in debt for one day? You know what I mean? And then it's real messed up when you got all kind of family members. That's one of the reasons why I cut a lot of my family off. I'm just joking. But you know, you got a lot of family members and everything, and then you thinking about, if they're going to buy my kids something, now I'm obligated to buy their kids something. How many ever felt like that? You know what I mean? Let's just be honest. You know what? Here go a saucer right there. And I took a black magic marker and I put "I love you" in the saucer. Just sit it up there by your Christmas tree. Merry Christmas. Amen. I'm just joking. Tell your neighbor, said faith. See, you don't want to be one of those believers that know the word and don't know the God of the word. The word of God should take you to who he is. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? Watch this. The preaching and the teaching of God's word should get in you and compel you. It should feed your appetite to pursue him. Are you catching what I'm saying? To pursue him. Now, why am I teaching this message? I'm going to show you in a minute here on scripture, but I'm going to tell you what my heart is. Because I've been in Adrian for almost 4 years. Pastoring almost 4 years. Maybe it is 4 years. I don't know. We've been an Ecclesiastic Incorporation since August 16, 2008. So it's a little over 3 years that we've been an actual church. But I've been here and I've watched people come. Somebody say people come. And I've watched people go. Somebody say people go. I watch people come. Come on. They get the victory and then they fall. I watch people go up and go down, go up and go down, and go up and go down. And I'm like, "Lord, what is going on?" And the Father said to me, "They don't know me. They know tradition. They know church. But they don't know me." That's why prayer is so important. And Minister Paige don't even know this. I'm just going to put her on Front Street. The Spirit of God told me to do a 7-day thing. I told a few people. He told me to do a 7-day thing where it's nothing but straight prayer, fasting, and soaking. Morning services and workshops, and then night services where there's no preaching, just straight worship. Because we got to compel. Me as a pastor, I got to compel you to go into the deep, innermost parts of who God is. Because the times that we're living in right now, they're going to get so hard and so complicated. The only place of safety is going to be completely in his presence. And if you don't know his presence, and trust me, those who know his presence know what I'm talking about. Moses said this right here. He said, "If your presence don't go with me, I won't go." And that's the place we're talking about, the place where we are completely surrendered in prayer. That prayer is not prayer is not a duty. It's not a responsibility. It's a privilege. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To be in the awesome presence of God. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for that. I'm going to tell you why. Because We have a lot of our sons, a lot of our daughters, a lot of our friends, a lot of our family members who don't know Jesus. And sometimes, you know, if you eat chicken often enough, you know, you just get accustomed to chicken. See, I like chicken. Amen. But a person that ain't never tasted some of Sister Sharon the chicken, you know what I mean? They get a bite of that chicken and they like, glory be to God. But I'm just used to it. I can eat it with my eyes closed. Amen. Brother Cornelius can cook some chicken too, though. Amen. What is my point in that? I'm trying to show you something right here. You and I could be used to the thing we have with God and forget about that there's other people out there that ain't never tasted the chicken. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Family members. You see what I'm saying? These things that have happened in the last week have just tormented me. Because all I can think about is the times that they were in my care. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All I can think about is the times that, you know what I mean, I hugged them, joking with them, invited them to church. I asked myself, you know what? Maybe I wasn't aggressive enough. Maybe I didn't spend enough time seeing them. Maybe I didn't talk to them enough. And see, it's not wrong for me to talk to myself like that. You want to know why? Because I guarantee you I'm not going to allow it to happen again. It will not happen again. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? But see, we all have to do it together. That's why our faith got to move past our own personal selfishness. Our faith has to become to the place where it's complete, total reliance and dependence upon Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's finish it up. Somebody tell me the time. What time is it? It's 8:17 already? Are you serious? Oh my God. Okay, I'm finishing right now. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. I'm really going to finish right now. Genesis 5 and 24. The Bible said, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Tell him, he said, neighbor, I want to walk with God. This is powerful right here. See, listen, you can't be satisfied with just knowing the word. You got to be satisfied. You can't be satisfied until you know him. And I told you Sunday that God is, the Bible said, how unsearchable are his ways past finding out. The Bible says that his things are bottomless and they are deep. Hear what I'm saying here. You can't exhaust an inexhaustible God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? His presence is the only thing that's inexhaustible. He's inexhaustible. You know what I mean? I said this about 3 weeks ago. Do you know what? Sex is exhaustible. Eating food. I don't care your favorite food. You could just throw it up to me. Tell me right now. My favorite food is Mediterranean. I love eating Alamir. That's my favorite food. But you know what? When I drive to Detroit and I got that appetite for it and I get there and I, you know what I'm saying, start eating that chicken with that lemon sauce on and that rice with that beef in it and that little cinnamon sprinkle on top of it with that fettuccine, that fettuccine or tabbouleh or whatever it is, I start eating that. Guess what? After about a half hour, it's exhausted. That means my appetite for that is gone. Now I'm sitting at the table talking about I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Amen. And they bathroom dirty and you can't go in there. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. But everything that we desire in the flesh, do y'all catch my point here? It's exhaustible. That means it can come to an end. If I'm using the right word, you know what I mean? You lose your appetite for it. But God, you can never get enough of God. You can never get enough of God. Amen? Come on, say this. I can never get enough of God. See, we should get to the place, you know, Kenneth Copeland and them, I remember hearing them tell stories about they would teach the word for 6 to 8 hours straight. They'd go take a break and come back and teach some more. People walking down the streets, and right there when they're praising God, they'd be praising God for 2 hours long singing songs. And people just walk off the streets and come through the doors, come right to the altar and give their life to Christ. No pastor talked to them, no parishioner talked to them. The presence of God caught them, amen? The Bible said Enoch walked with God. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now say this. Say, Enoch walked with God and Enoch pleased God. Enoch walked with God and Enoch pleased God. Now look at verse 6, Hebrews 11 and 6. It said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith. Now we're back on this faith thing, because remember, we live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Come on, say that. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now the word please means to fully satisfy, fully gratify. But one of the most strongest definitions of this word is to be in full agreement with. So in order for you and I to be in full and complete agreement with God, we have to walk by faith. Walk by faith. Somebody say walk by faith. Now this is powerful. Raise your hand if you want to please God. You have to walk by faith. You have to walk by faith. See, remember I said Sunday that faith, I'm going to close with this. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. That's how you make all heavenly transactions, through faith. How do you get faith? I told you, Romans 10 and 17. I told you to turn there. I'm just going to quote it. It says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I have to quote Bishop Oyedepo on this right here. And it's in agreement with what God told me. I'm going to say my quote, and then I'm going to say his quote. My quote is this right here, that many people know the word of God, but not many people know the God of the word. Bishop Oyedepo said that primarily we've been hearing the word of God, but we've not been hearing the voice of God. Hear what I'm saying here? There is a difference. You can't intellectually create a file cabinet in your mind where you have memorized scripture, but that you don't never come to the experience of who the scripture is talking about. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying tonight? This is important. That's why, like today, when I came in here, you know, I'm a little bit upset myself because I came late, but the praise and worship was so powerful. I mean, the praise and worship is always powerful here. But praise and worship is your time for you to experience God. If you couldn't do it by yourself at home and the devil been beating you up, now you're around a crowd of 50 to 100, sometimes 120 people all together at church with their hands raised. Take the advantage of pressing into that corporate anointing and that corporate presence of God so that you can experience him as an individual. What I've learned is that if I did not pay the price individually at home, I could be next to another brother or sister in church who did pay the price. And they've been praying all week long. And guess what? Their anointing and their experience will rub off on me. So what am I trying to tell you? We got to get to the place where we start pursuing to know him. Pursuing to know him. Come on, stand to your feet, because I'm not going to keep you any longer. I'm not going to keep you any longer. Tell your neighbor, say, faith is being confident, relying, depending, and being fully persuaded in my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's what I want you to do. You know, as you go home this week, you know, before you come back to Sunday, take the word, amen, meditate the word, but now start talking to the person of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, make this come alive to me. I want to know you. Because guess what? You can't just be satisfied with knowing the word. You hear what I'm saying? Now you need to know the word to fight Satan. But you, more than even just knowing the word, you need to know the God of the word, amen? Is that all right, y'all? Amen. Praise God. Let's just raise our hands just for a minute. Let's just take 30 seconds. Let's just begin to pray to him right now.